Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Empowerment Network. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rohn, coming to you live on Empowerment Saturday. It's the National African American Empowerment Show, hosted by myself and my main man, Stan Macklin. We're going to examine issues in the African American community, issues that we face. We're going to talk about our issues, concerns. We're going to talk about things that we need to correct and resurrect in our community. It's an opportunity for you, our listener, to sound off and talk about what's important to you. Today's topic is, are we African Americans really free? Before we get started, I would like to share a little bit about the National African American Empowerment Association. Mission of that National African American Empowerment Association is to ensure that the needs of the African American community are met through the development of programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower our community to become the best that we can be. All we need is a little hope and a little help and a lot from you. So call in today. The live call-in number is 845-277-9250. Are we really free? Stan Macklin, are you available for conversation?
Yes, I am, my brother. Glad to be a part of Empowerment 360 again, man. It's a wonderful outreach ministry of National African American Empowerment Association. If there's anything that African Americans need, is to be empowered by the power of reality to make a difference in society.
Well, we're facing a lot of realities. All right, we're learning about a lot about ourselves. We're learning a lot about this country as it stands, America, in terms of liberty and justice for all, and I do mean all. We're learning about our president. We're learning about our justice system. We're learning about our police officers. We're learning about Confederates. We're learning about a horrible past that we must face. So I would like to go through just a little bit as we discuss, as we share in the celebration of Juneteenth on yesterday. So we're going to be, this is Juneteenth weekend. So it's a whole weekend of festivities. They were blowing off fireworks like it was the 4th of July last night. And the first time in my life that I've experienced a celebration in that capacity and to that depth. So I'm proud of our people that we're celebrating our history and our culture. So the question is, Stan, today, are we really free? Are African Americans really free, and what does that look like? So walk with me for a minute down memory lane, if you will, to the day that we were captives. And our ancestors were placed on slave ships. And, you know, we went to Elmina ourselves, and we saw the seasoning process that our ancestors went through. And I like to proudly say that you were the one that took me to Africa and showed me Ghana, Togo, and Benin and took me back to the motherland. Mm-hmm. And so we had our own experience there. But that walk, that final walk, you know, that walk of no return that we saw, and our ancestors boarded a ship to come to a land that they didn't know what they were getting into. So we're going to go through the process now of being on the ship, and some didn't make it off the ship. Some were tossed over, and some jumped on their own. Then when we got here, we got through another seasoning process of brutal slavery and many regards where our people were tortured and suffered and worked tirelessly. And so as we went through, we finally got to 1776 now. We're fighting with the colonists now that say they want to be free. And so we fought on the side of America under British rule to say, hey, we want freedom. And my great friend Patrick Henry, the great orator, said, give me liberty or give me death, while holding 90 of our ancestors hostage. Yes, sir. Yes. And so I'm asking the question today, are we really free? Because we've fought alongside of them for freedom, but they still didn't give us our freedom. So we're looking at 1776 to 1863 when Abraham Lincoln comes and says, okay, we have some differences here, and we're going to make you guys free now. And so 1863, the first emancipation came. So we really have three emancipations, one for the slaves in Washington, D.C., the overall emancipation, and then Juneteenth, which is 1865, which is 2 years later that our ancestors were still enslaved, 2 years after the emancipation, where they were finally freed. And so after we get our freedom in 1865 and we go into the Reconstruction period, there then becomes a period of time where the take-backs happen. We promised the 40 acres and a mule, take-back, right? Then we went into Jim Crow. We went into Black codes. We had, when we went around to the Roaring Twenties that they talk about, but they don't talk about the Bloody Summer, where those take-back continued to happen with Rosewood and a lot of other places, Black Wall Street that we could talk about, massacres all over the country as whites took back the freedoms that we had, and we were incarcerated in high numbers, murdered, lynched, tortured. Then we get to a point of we're getting civil rights now. So we're looking at 1865 to 1965, which is how many years? 100 years of going through segregation until we have a semblance of freedom. Are we really free people? The question today, and I'll end with this, and I'll turn it over to you guys, and then we'll have some words from the caller. So from the end of segregation, and we'll call that the marking period where Dr. Martin Luther King lost his life and was assassinated for our marching for freedom, if you will. Then we went through the crack epidemic, the war on drugs, mass incarceration, Black Lives Matter, and many more iterations of this thing that we call freedom. We know we're being policed by the police, the brutality of it that continues after life. Just this year, we have all the murders. So we can go back, and I'm sure some of our callers can name the names of those who died by the hands of the law. It's justice. Will justice be served for us? Because as we look at the images, as we look at liberty, she is blind. Justice is blind. The scales are tilted. And that's telling us something. So I'm going to turn it over to you for a minute, Stan, to get some comments, and then we're going to the lines. What you got for me, brother?
Man, you said so much. You just took us through a walk through history, a walk through the eras of time to let us see and to ask ourselves the question, are we free? No, we're not free. We're still in economic bondage. We still are wrapped up, bound up in inequality and injustice. You have a president who chooses to have a campaign rally. The next day, he wanted it on the day of Juneteenth, but the next day, as a declaration to black folks that, hey, I can go right to the city where the nation's worst massacre was held and show you what I think about you. Does that sound like freedom to me? Come on,
brother, no.
It's time that we as black folk wake up and realize and smell the coffee that America's original sin stinks. That's right. It stinks. And what that sin is that they did it to the Native Americans. Where are they? Oh, they gave them casinos. Yeah, they did. But they knew they had to give them something. The way they did them so wrong, it was near genocide. And even today, the reservations are suffering enormously. And then you look at through the use of kidnap and enslavement of another race, which happens to be African American. I tell you, my brother, we as a people have to realize we got to quit trying to fit in to get in. Time that we have institutions that define our own reality. How can we say we're free when still Washington, D.C. is a colony? It's still a colony. They have taxation without representation. Why
can't it be
the 51st state? Because of nothing but white supremacy. Look at our currency. On all our currency, you have nothing but white faces. And the first five presidents were slave owners, plantation owners. Come on. We are so engulfed up to white supremacy, up to our necks, that we don't even know what we're swimming in. We got to quit trying to fit in and get in and establish institutions that define our own reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really appreciate the National African American Empowerment Association, because this is about empowerment. And you know what we need? We need land. We got to get land. They promised us 40 acres and a mule. And did it happen? No.
No.
And then the one farmers that do have their land, the agricultural department didn't do right about them in terms of empowering them. So we brothers need to wake up and realize that we're never going to be looked upon anything in this country but as ex-slaves, enslaved. That's right. That's right. I had a friend named Empty Sleeves. He was Empty Sleeves because living as a little boy, he got his arms electrocuted. He picked up a live wire and it burnt off his arms. But he learned how to, when he got some other, what do you call those, when he learned how to work his new arms, the brother was heavy.
Prosthetic.
And he said prosthetic, right.
Mm-hmm.
He could tie a necktie better than you and I. And he said the most neglected person in the world is the black child. The most loneliest person in the world is the black woman. And the most hated person in the world is the black man.
Talk to me, brother.
It's nothing but hate to constantly, repeatedly dealing with this police brutality and hatred. I dealt with that back in the 60s.
Mm.
We fought against that. That's why it was called the Black Panthers Party for the Self-Defense, because the police was fighting and killing. They were killing is nothing new. What you saw that man did for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, they were doing crazy stuff like that back in the 60s, and they have not changed their agenda at all. It's an open season on blacks in this country. Did you see there was two men out in, I think one was in Los Angeles. I don't know where everyone was. They were hung.
Mm-hmm.
They said it was a suicide. What black man you know going to walk around here and hang himself? I don't think so. I don't think so. I know all the things we've been through. If there's anything that we as a people have learned how to do is how to deal with stress. Because all the things we've been through. And so I highly doubt if we're going to take a rope and put it around our neck and hang ourselves. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's a coward's way out. No. That's something like people that don't want to face the truth do. There was white supremacists that caught that brother at the wrong time in the right place for them and did what they did. That's what they did, and they'll do it right today, because all them things they just took on new forms, and they still exist today. They got different ways and tactics and plans and strategy to do it. First of all, there's four things they do toward the black man. The first thing they do is to try to discourage you. That's the first thing they do, and all discouragement, I have to say, comes from the devil. The second thing they try to do is to to discredit you. That's the second thing they try to do. Then if they can't discredit you, then the third thing they do to kick it up to the third level is they dismiss you. Then if they can't dismiss you, you keep coming back just like a rope. You don't stop. You keep coming back. Thing they're going to do is the ultimate one, which is destroy you. Did you hear that, brother? Destroy
I heard
you.
That.
That's what they did to Dr. Martin Luther King. They destroyed him because it wasn't because of his I Have a Dream speech. It was because he spoke out against the Vietnam War about the matter of economic equality. And if you want to get that man upset, talk about equality. That's what it's about. But we got to wake up. We got to wake up people and realize trying to fit in to get in ain't going to get it.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Somebody said that. We're going to the line stand. Are you ready? Callers, are you
ready?
I got the board is full. I'm starting with 9317. 9317, you got to come through real quick. I'm giving you 30 seconds to speak to me, and then I'm moving on to the next call. 9317, you're up. Welcome to the Empowerment Saturday Show. Are you there?
Good. Yeah, this is Kevin calling.
Just
checking in, listening
in,
hearing what everybody got to say. What's going on? You all. Loving the conversation. I came in late, so I don't know everything that was said, but, you know, black power, soul power.
There you go. The question is, are we really free, Kevin? Are we African Americans really free? And we went through the whole thing from our ancestors boarding the ships and being captured all the way to today and everything that we had to go through. Are we really free? Are we protected under the law? Are we American citizens? Are we protected by the Constitution? Are we facing police brutality? You know it all, man. Are we really just celebrated Juneteenth? Are we celebrating freedom?
The answer
to me, brother.
No.
That's two no's.
Because we are still in mental bondage. Still in mental bondage. And our brother, Bobby E. Wright, he used the term menticide, which means the systemic effort to undermine and destroy a person's values and beliefs as by the use of prolonged interrogation like torture or what we call here chattel enslavement, and then introduce radically different ideas. And the one that's foremost in my mind is by implanting another spiritual belief system as well as other beliefs.
Right.
No, we aren't. We may physically be able to walk around and go to the store and do some other stuff, right? Go shopping and give them our money and all of that. But we are still mentally in bondage. And and until we're ready to deal with our own internalized oppression and what that means and the impacts of it, then we're in trouble.
All right. Stan, you got anything you want to add to that? Kevin, great stuff, man.
Victimization. Yeah, right. He's so right. I mean, we learn to cope, and we have to move beyond that. We have to deal with, there's an old saying, a mind is a terrible thing to waste, and we got to quit wasting our mind. We have to develop our mind. See, all them old methods that we use, they don't care because they get you in your mind. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he to you.
True. All right, stay with us, Kevin. I'm going to another caller. 7974, talk to me. You're on the Empowerment Show live. 7974,
hi.
You there?
Yeah, hi. This is Yolanda.
Hey, Yolanda.
I wanted to say, hey, so we were talking about sort of the historical breakdown of freedom. I think it's a really intangible, sort of elusive idea for African Americans because because I think that when we think about how we started in history and in, 1865, or we even start with Juneteenth, right, that gave us the legalization of freedom, But, mm-hmm. you know, there's the legalization and then there's the actuality of freedom.
Right.
And so the backlash to the white backlash to that was lynching, black codes, Jim
mm-hmm.
Crow,
mm-hmm.
the laws then, 13, 14, 15, that had to been put in place for us to realize that freedom, right? And then we're still realizing that today, and I think it's cyclical in that realization. 100 years
mm-hmm.
after 1865, we had the 1965 Voting Rights Act that, again, had to affirm what we thought was a freedom given to us in the 15th Amendment. So I think that when you have to have laws be passed to affirm your humanity in
mm-hmm.
a world that doesn't accept it naturally, then I can't say that we're free. Because when you have to pass a law to say that you can't discriminate against me because of the hair that grows out of my head, or you have to pass a law, again, to continually confirm that I'm human and that I am allowed to move freely and be liberated, which is an entirely other concept, then no, I don't believe that we're free. And again, mm-hmm. even if we look at just a few years ago when the Voting Rights Act was not renewed, and particularly Section 5, right, of the Voting Rights Act that tried to stop voter suppression because it's still happening. We no look no further than what happened recently in Georgia. So to answer your question, no, I don't think we're free. I think it's just this sort of elusive idea in which we keep trying to reach for, and the more that we reach for it, the more we have to put in place laws and policies. And when you have to put all those laws and policies in place, I think that is sort of a rhetorical question in and of itself. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Yolanda. Appreciate it. Hang on. We'll come back to you in just a few minutes. Great points. So we have three no's so far, Stan. What do you
yes,
got? Any response?
Well, it's going to continue to be no's. I mean, because people, anybody that's a thinking person knows what time it is. I mean, you know, we talk about freedom. I mean, look at, and we even talk about the restricted covenants, which limit you where you can live. You know, they got codes written in where it's just written in there, black people cannot live there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that, which feeds into redlining and all that.
Yeah. Man, what do we got going on here? I think we need a wake-up call, right? And this, we just got to be clear about where we are and then develop some strategies, right? So we're talking about politics, economics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. So we have to have a complete understanding of the political system and the legal system, along with the economic system, so we can navigate our way out of this thing. I'm going back down the line again. Let's see who I'm going to. I'm going to shift on over to 4358. Thank you, Yolanda. Thank you, Kevin. We're coming back to you guys in a few minutes if you hang on to the line. I got 4358. Are you ready? This thing is hot today. What you got for us? Welcome to the Empowerment Show. 4358, are you there? 4358 is not ready to talk. Sorry, I'm going over to 0946. 4358, we might come back to you later on, but you got to be ready to hit this thing. 0946, talk to me. This is the Empowerment Show. We on fire today.
Well, I'm doing fine, and the question is, are we free? And I'm with everybody else. We are not free.
Oh,
we are being asked to coexist with our abuser. We, as African American people, are trapped by way of kidnapping in an abusive relationship. We're still in a strange land. And as the victim in this abusive relationship, the healthy option would be to leave. But we don't have anywhere to go. Even the land that we call home is currently, a lot of those areas are under control by the relatives of the abusers here. We're trapped in an abusive relationship, so we learn to deal with the abuse, hoping the abuser will change their ways. And since we are trapped in this relationship, there's one more option on the table. That's to eliminate the abuser. Some say we need to be deprogrammed. However, a victim in an abusive relationship cannot deprogram their conditioning or their mental state while being abused. So the victim can save their money. We talk about, we're going to get our money together. The abuser will either steal it, or the victim will end up giving it back to the abuser. The abuser can, the victim can speak out about the abuse, and the abuser will either turn around and hit them, evoke fear, or temporarily change their behavior to manipulate the victim into thinking they're going to stop the abuse. And now where we're at today, we are still trying to influence or convince the abuser to stop abusing us. And so what does the abuser do? They admit they're wrong, but they will continue to abuse. So as kidnapped people, we keep asking, where do we go from here? And I think the despair of this continued question for 400 years is rooted in a truth that we're unwilling to eliminate the abuser, and or we realize we can't eliminate the abuser. And I believe this reality is so painful that we end up turning in on ourselves and one another to get some type of release that makes us feel empowered, because we dare not turn on our abuser because we have this fear in our psyche that knows we will be destroyed. So those, the brother that talked about the mental abuse, somebody was talking about getting land. We've tried all of that. And the end result is we're still not free.
Still not free. That's four. All right. Stan, what you got for me, man? Because let me add this, right? So she mentioned something about not going back home. You know, we've been to you've taken me personally to Ghana. And Ghana had this repatriation thing still going on where they're opening their arms to African Americans. So if you're listening, you need to do your homework now, because there is a place for us in Gambia as well as Ghana where there are places that are welcoming us back home, if you will. So do your homework. If you're thinking about repatriating, look at Ghana and what they're offering. They have some great programs to welcome you back home. And I can tell you this, when we went there, the first thing that the brother said to me when I stepped on the motherland was, "Welcome home, brother." And it was the greatest feeling in the world. So that's what we are with that. Man, it's just so much. What you got, Stan? Talk to me, brother.
Well, you know, I think that it's hard for us because of the blood, sweat, and the tears that have, through oppression, been invested in this country. We know that. A lot of the modern-day inventions, we are the inventors of that. We're black excellence, black brilliance is exceptional. And, you know, so when you tell people about that exodus going back to Africa, they say, "Well, I wasn't born in Africa. I ain't lost none in Africa." But, you know, it's a geographical connection. And, you know, I know, to me, I can't explain it. It is definitely a place where there is black empowerment. You see it. Sure, there's things like they deal with things like tribalism and so forth, and that's there. But there's going to be always some ism that confronts us. But we have to be willing to tap into a power that's higher than us, so that we can define our existence to make a difference. We have to.
Okay. Well, let me say this, right, for the listeners. We are co-founders, right? So we have a concrete stake in this country. So there is no returning us, because that's gone. And we can decide to leave. We can have dual citizenship status if we like.
Yep.
But our ancestors built every road and every building. The foundation of this country belongs to the sweat and blood and tears of our ancestors. So we have a human right? To this country.
That's right.
Right. But we also have a right to all of the prosperity that goes along with it. We wasn't added into the Constitution when they first wrote the Constitution. But I'm saying right now that we have to challenge them on the basic points of social civil rights. What are our social civil rights?
Right.
Go ahead,
and
brother.
What happened to the 40? And what happened to the 40 acres in the mule? That's empowerment,
yeah,
right there.
That's right. They gave away land all over the country, but they didn't give any to us.
I mean,
Stan, I'm going back to.
At least the Native Americans got some casinos.
Yeah, they did. They did. We didn't get anything out the deal. It's time for us to get something out the deal. But I'm saying this, too, and I always say, you got to give us money with a plan. You just can't give us money because we're going to go and spend it right back. So I think we got, if we get any money from the government or anything, there have to be structures in place to support us. So if you want to go into business, there should be a training and development program for us that help us at every level of business development so that when we go into business, we're successful and that we understand and develop the training models without all the red tape that has to go with this. Stan, I'm going to jump over to 4358. I hope they're ready. You ready, 4358? I'm coming to you with live. 4358,
yes,
welcome
sir.
To the Empowerment Show. All
I'm
right.
Here.
You there?
All right.
Come
yeah,
on, talk to
I
me,
was
man.
Earlier when you I was here earlier, and I was trying to make my point, and I got cut off, you know, by somebody in the house, and I,
okay.
you know, went
that's
to
all right.
That.
That's all right. We
but,
moving fast, man. We talking about freedom.
You know, I mean,
we
I've heard a lot of views and a lot of opinions, and you know, I respect all of that, but it seems like for some reason we just won't try unifying. You know, We still haven't unified. Since we've been on this continent, we have not unified. We're still segmented and broken up into little groups, and a little group is not going to work against a powerful force. But, you know, you put that fist together, and like Booker T. Washington said, you know, in society, we could be like the fingers, you know, separated. But then, you know, amongst ourselves, we can be like a fist, you know,
come
which
on, brother.
Is strong and powerful. And I know that's the thing that we lack. We just don't have that, you know, I keep talking about a collective consciousness, and we don't have that, you know. And so I'm certain that one thing will alleviate all the problems that we have, because we keep looking, you know, to the outside for solutions, and they're not going to come. I mean, if I've prospered all these many years from keeping you tricked and from continuously making promises to you that the Native American told us that they speak with a forked tongue, and by now you don't know that everybody is aware that they speak with a forked tongue, and we still believe in the stuff that they say. You know, it's as ridiculous as believing what Donald Trump says, you know. But for some reason, the news media make things seem like there's something normal about Donald Trump. You know, just because he's a racist and just because, you know, he says a lot of ignorant things, he's still, you know, a president. You know, and I actually remember the type of language that they used with President Barack Obama, who was an intelligent man, who did try to be presidential. And I remember the language that those same people used with him.
Right.
You know, but once again, you can't force somebody to respect you. You have to command respect.
Right.
That's true. Well, brother, thank you for your comments. I'm going to come back to you because I got some questions that I want to ask. I'm going to slide on over here for a minute back to Kevin if he's available. I have a question for him. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I'm
Kevin,
here.
Are you there? Okay. You talked about menticide. And the brother before you said we need to be unified. So in order for us to be unified, we had to have the same mind. You said we're in bondage and we're suffering from menticide. So how can we unify under this mental bondage and come out? Because we got some questions. I'm going to try to wrap this thing up today. Talk to me, brother.
Well, here's the thing. So We will never get anywhere if we're looking for all of us to unite. The thing to remember is that we all come to this with different mentalities, or as a friend of mine says, that different ethnic backgrounds. And to make it plain, some of us are Negroes, some of us are niggas, some of us are Afro-American, some of us are black, right? So we come with these different mentalities, and if the expectation is that all of these mentalities will come together for united action, I just don't see that happening. You know, we have to get together with those who are like-minded. We have to put educational programs to maybe bring around some of those that are of a different mindset. But we cannot wait for all of us to have the same mental space or thinking.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to try to wrap this up. I'm coming back to you, brother. Thank you. Hey, Stan. What I'm hearing is, and my brother talked about unification. Kevin said, "Hey man, wait a minute. Now we divided in so many ways. So we're divided in terms of economics, religion, mentality, where you live, the color of your skin, the education attainment that you have or haven't or do not have. Man, we got a whole lot of barriers. Stan, how are we gonna overcome these barriers?" And unify or come together on some point. The commonality that we all have is that we're black, because when they pull you over, you black, right? And I always say, when we got on those ships, it wasn't no AKAs and no Deltas or no Omegas or no PhDs or no niggas.
It was Ashanti and Gaz and Tweez. Well,
talk to me, Stan.
It's good to have a goal. It's good to have a goal. A goal. And maybe it may not be a common goal, but there's something about the desire to unify or to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And we must never lose that drive or that ability to at least attempt to. Because when you give up, that's what they, as I told you, those four D's that they do, you know, to discourage you, to discredit you, to diss you and dismiss you, and then just to if you allow that to sink in you, your spirit, and take away your strive for freedom, you become a victim. And,
okay, I got another one I want to add to that is divide. So, can we add? Divide. Can we add divide in there?
Of course. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can. Yes. Yes. Divide is definitely in the divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. How many times have that happened? You know? In all organizations, there's that divide that comes in there to try to do that. And many times it's that outside influence that happens to do that to us as a people. But, you know, I don't know.
Black America, we got a problem. Go ahead, Stan.
Well, we got a problem, and it's going to continue to be a problem until there's some foundational things that are changed. I don't think it's going to be changed, because that's the way it is. That's the Constitution. In the Constitution, they still call Native Americans savages. And then, you know, we were looked upon as, what, 3/5 of a human being?
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's just that disdain for black is beautiful. It's very
it sure
beautiful.
Is.
And when you know how to be empowered in your blackness, it makes a makes a difference. But we shouldn't, I don't think we should lose our desire, our spunk.
I heard that. I heard that. All right, the lines are still open, 845-277-9250. I'm going back to 7974. Let's add something to this conversation. We talked about unity. We talked about coming together. What is it that we need to do? What's the solution? Talk to me, caller. 7974, you on live.
Hmm.
Oh, sorry. So, yeah, I think you said, what's the solution?
Yeah, we talked about unity.
Yeah, I mean, I think unity is important. I think to what Kevin said, I think there that we have to, we're not monolithic, right? And so I think that we have, that's why strategy is important. I think oppression is strategic. It is just not, you know, by happenstance. And so if we're going to deconstruct and unpack that, so that we can be liberated, we're going to have to be strategic. And it doesn't mean that everybody has to agree on all the points, but we do have to think about what are the things that are going to be important. And I think that that has to be strategic. We have to have a strategy, and that's bringing different thought processes together to come up with a, you know, to come up with a plan or space to move forward. So I think that's really important, and I think we can't get distracted as well with some of the things that particularly I think come our way. And so, you know, the ways that we are oppressed is very diverse in the ways that it comes through us, right? So we talk about, you know, the strategicness of it through, you know, the New Deal and redlining, right? That was strategic. That came from the government. That came from the New Deal that was purposely done to disenfranchise Black people. So again, I think as we think about history and we think about the Southern strategy and we think about how that was intentionally done, particularly during Nixon, he ran on the platform Law and Order. Well, that was just ambiguous language, right, for the continuous oppression of energizing white Americans around the hatred for Black Americans. So, again, I think that, to your point, I think we need to have strategy, because if we sit here and we think that oppression isn't strategic, and if we continue to talk about it as if it's an abstract structure, right, in terms of power and oppression are people. Right, they're the people who are making our laws. And as long as we continue to be abstract about it, as if it's some kind of concept that isn't tied to people who are doing active things, then we're going to continue to not know who our enemy is and fighting against, right? And what we're fighting against, because it becomes so abstract that we no longer know who are the people pushing the buttons, making the laws, and continuing to perpetuate our oppression.
Wow. Thank you. What a wonderful statement. We got some, this thing is on fire today, Stan. She said we need a strategy. So I'm proposing that we have a new NBA. The NBA is back. It's a national black agenda. Since they can't play basketball, we're removing them, and we got a new NBA. It's called the National Black Agenda, where we're going to have a strategy. Right, I'm already proposing that we have one area called teaching our people politics. The second area is understanding economics. I got the line wide open, Stan. I got another caller, so I got to cut the NBA off so I can jump in here. I got two more callers. Okay, let's jump on 9282. If you ready, 9282, get yourself ready. Here we go. We're going live, the Empowerment Show. Are you there? 9282, talk to us. We're live. Marvin Rona, Stan Macklin.
9282. Look,
are you there? Hey. Come on,
yes,
brother.
Can you hear me? Can you hear
me? Yes, sir. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, sir. My thing is, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We need to, as a people, particularly as black men, understand and accept the fact that slavery did not fail. It was actually a huge success. See what I'm saying?
Wow.
Slavery was a huge success. It did exactly what it was intended to do. You remember that the first 100 years of slavery, we couldn't read, write. If you taught us to read or write, they even killed each other for doing that, or killed us if they saw you could read. That was not something that you were taught to do. The original slaves were in shackles, feet, arms, and so forth. At night, they had to be guarded, and they had guards guarding them in shackles because they knew if they got loose, they were going to kill them. You know, that's what they were going to do. So it took generations to get to the point where you had submission by Negroes to slavery. And it took almost 100 years to get the shackles off the hands and the neck and the feet. So then you could walk around as free slaves, not free slaves, but as free servants. You were trusted then. The master could then sleep peacefully because he knew you were, if you were trying to break or run away, you were trying to leave the plantation, not kill master. Mm. So you become submissive to it. So what we see today is a product of slavery. It and with the emancipation of so-called 1865, all that did was say, look, we have taken the shackles off of these Negroes. They had the opportunity to go back. Remember, Lincoln said to the slaves, y'all need to go back. He said, two kings cannot rule in the same land.
And if I had
the choice between being a servant or being the master, I'm going to be the master, what Lincoln told the slaves. The slaves' response was, remember now, Lincoln was going to send the slaves to an island, I think Puerto Rico or somewhere off South America, and give them 25 years to regroup and get themselves together. That was Lincoln's recommendation. Yes, sir. And white folks were like, oh, hell to the no. If you do that, they're going to go and regroup and get themselves together and go get angry with us and want to come back and kill us. Some say that's why Lincoln was killed. Okay? But we said, no, boss, we're not going. Where are we going to go? We're not going anywhere. Well, this all we know. And we stayed. Well, you know, and
hold on, brother. Stan, you got something?
600,000 men.
No.
Men were killed during the Civil War. 600,000. That's a lot of people, okay? And some say they were fighting for states' rights. Some say they were fighting to liberate the slaves from slavery. And some were just fighting because they could do it. They could pull it off. But, you know, when we look at this whole thing, if we go back to the pioneer stage, they had one strategy. Give me an axe, a gun, a plow, and a Bible. That's what they did, the pioneers. And that's an axe, a gun, a plow, and a Bible. The axe to cut the trees, the plow to till, to cultivate the ground, the Bible, this so-called religion, you know, and the gun was to defend it. And they moved in that pioneer spirit until they got to the stages of the Wild Wild West. Now, the Wild Wild West was free for all. And maybe there need to be what in most foreign countries is called a coup. Maybe there needs to be a free for all. Maybe we need to say enough is enough and rise up like some of the freedom fighters tried to do and didn't accomplish it. If you don't succeed the first time, what did he say? Try again. And so when the Wild Wild West was, I mean, it came down to only the men that stood was who? Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday and, you know. I mean, they didn't take no stuff. And so we got to the place, I know the sister hits on it a lot. We take a lot of stuff as black men. But a true Mandingo man ain't going to take just anything. It just ain't going to happen.
Well, I think that mental side that Kevin talked about, because we are definitely in mental bondage. And that great point, brother, let me say that. Great point. You're exactly right. And I think that mental bondage is the obstacle that continues to drive a wedge in anything that we want to do. I'm going down the line now. We got a new caller in. 8864, are you ready? I'm pulling the trigger. 8864, you're live on the Empowerment Show. Talk to me. 8864. You riding around? They ain't ready, Stan.
Hello?
We on fire today. Yeah, come on, talk to me, caller.
Yes, popcorn. Gotta be popcorn.
All righty. So we talking about freeing minds, and I hear a lot of good points, but the mental bondage that we are in is deeper than just mental bondage. We got to think about the physical bondage, too. We don't have anything. So How many black farms do we have? How many, you know, doctors do we have? How many lawyers do we have? People speak on, I hear somebody speaking of someone of a coup, but you can't do a coup when you don't even have food to feed your soldiers. So we have a system that has been running for 400 years plus to stop any of these things that we need to do. So the first thing we need to understand is, how can we as people come together? We have different religions, different interests. We have older, younger, and right now it's a huge divide in our country. So until we fix that part of it, none of the other stuff will fall into place. Because we don't even have a connect. The older people don't even have a connect with the younger people. It took kids right now. I'm just saying, I'm 28. So it took people younger than me and my age to come out here and protest what people had not done in years, since Martin Luther King, since Malcolm X, since, you know. So we as a people have to understand that until we fix the divides that are in our community, and these divides are deep. You know, these are perilous homes. These are economic situations. These are, I can go on and on down the list of the situational problems that we have. And until we fix these individual problems, there will be no coup. There will be no other things going on. That issue die with. So until we fix those issues, nothing else can come from that. And that's just where I'm at this, on the situation right now. We have to figure out how to fix us. And just and I never heard one of the gentlemen spoke and said that, you know, back in the day they were going to give us, you know, he said Abraham Lincoln was going to say, send them to this place and, you know, they'll, you know, give them 25 years. A lot of people still got that slave mentality. So if you told them right now, look, we'll give you the whole continent of Africa back, a lot of people ain't going to be trying to go. A lot of people going to be, oh, well, I got this excuse and I got that excuse and they don't have this. And, oh, I read in the book they don't even have health care. And I read this. It's going to be 100,000 excuses. So until we fix us, until we make that black beautiful, until we make that black strong, until we fix the problems, I don't think nothing going to work. I want to see it work.
Wow,
but I think
brother.
We really have
to. You don't think nothing will work.
I think he's right. I think we got to do the internal work first. We're talking about racial reconciliation. We got to do our own internal work. We got to get ourselves together. And that train won't take off until we get to repairing, right? That's why I keep saying we need an agenda. We need a strategy. Brother, you are right on it. Right now, I would take Puerto Rico for $200, Alex, if they gave it to me. And we could try to start over from there. But guess what? If you can't feed yourself, what you going to do? So he's exactly right, right? Until we get those skills that we need to develop a nation, then those things is going to happen, right? Those things are going to happen if we do that, right? So we're going to have to look at infrastructure. We're going to have to do infrastructure. We're going to have to do some work on ourselves. You're exactly right. So let me see. Brother, I appreciate your call. Hold on, because we're going to do a speed round. All right. Stan, the brother made a good point. If we don't get ourselves together, it's kind of like having a car and you don't have a good mechanic. How that thing going to work?
Well, you got that's the starting point. You got to get yourself together. You got to start with yourself. You know, self-confidence is very, very important. And motivation.
There you go.
You got to learn how to become a committee of one. I mean, it can be done.
So the message is,
start
with yourself. Well,
start with yourself.
Start with yourself. But I think we got some great points going. I'm going back down the line and see if we can get some feedback from off of that round that we just had. I'm going to go back to 4358. Are you ready? I'm pulling the trigger. It's Empowerment Saturday, and we got some good stuff going on. 4358, Marvin Rona, Stan Mackin, coming to you live. What you got, brother?
Yes, sir. Well, I got a response to the to Kevin.
All right, come on. Come on. Come on.
Well,
I'm bringing Kevin,
in. I agree with Kevin that we're broken up into different mindsets as far as integrationalists, assimilationalists, niggas. That's exactly right. You know, but at some point, maybe the strategy that Shaka was using, because I don't think a lot of people know what Shaka's strategy really was. But Shaka's strategy was to conquer all of Africa because he was fighting his own people first. And sometimes you have to get people into submission and then you instruct them what to do because they don't know what to do. Sooner or later, it's going to come down to, you know, the survival of the fittest amongst ourselves.
So are you
and
really saying that we need good
theology,
leadership?
But sooner
does
or later.
Does it start with leadership?
Well, the leadership is going to develop itself, because when you're defeated, then you submit. It's just like, you know, using this as an example might be one that people can understand well. When the brothers on the street corner started the Crips, they eventually backed into, it might be like 100,000 members or so right now.
Uh-huh.
And it's because they were battering other little gangs into submission until they became a big, massive gang. And sometimes you have to get to a point where, hey, y'all talking about y'all want to do it this way. We talking about we want to do it that way. We're going to have to, you know, finalize this. Because we're only going to do it one way.
Kevin,
so,
are you there?
You know, sitting around and talking about this thing like
yes.
like we really have options. You know, it's getting to a point where even the people on the other side is going to make a decision to do something, and for you to be sitting around defending it,
they've done something. They've done some racism and Christians got together. And this was created. Racism and princes got together and had a baby, and it's called niggerism. In other words, white supremacy can devalue black life, but niggerism will cause you to sell dope to a young mother that ain't going to take care of her child, you know? And so niggerism is a problem. We got to deal with that. But that was created to keep us in that state of that nigger per se.
All right. All right, let's see. We got 2 minutes left. I'm just opening up the lines, right? The lines are opening. If
so,
you don't want to talk, mute your phone. Yes, sir. Go, Kevin.
You know, it's so much has been said, and I'm trying to fix myself something, so I can't write no notes.
Okay.
Down, but I do want to make the point. The young man, I think this is one of the issues that we're having right now with bridging the gap of communication between our youth and our elders, right, is that there's a thought that what they're doing today has never happened before, and that's not true. There's been a lot of protests over the years, even between now and the time of Dr. King. What I will say is that what's happening now is a perfect storm. And I think that this is, if we can say that there's a blessing from COVID, this would be it. Because there are so many people that are unemployed right now that they can take the time and go into the street, you know, and protest and do stuff. You know, I question if we would be getting the same response now If we weren't in COVID and everyone was still employed and had to go to work and all of that stuff. So
that's
it's perfect storms that come up that present the opportunities like we have right now.
Right.
In the 60s it was still segregation. Right.
Kevin, we got 30 seconds.
I'm sorry,
we got 30 seconds.
I'm off.
I got to close it out. Thank you.
Okay.
Right, we'll pick it up next week, Stan. I appreciate you, all the callers. Hey, let's continue the dialogue, young, old, black. All of us got to come together to do this thing if it's going to happen. Thank you for calling. It's Empowerment Saturday. I want you to share this show with your friends. Right, let's get the dialogue going. Let's create a strategy and agenda that will work for us. 365 days, it's Marvin Rome. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, guys. Love you so much. Great job.